Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again to Monday Night Bible Study. Welcome back in the house of the Lord. Yesterday was a wonderful, wonderful service. God was so good to us, and even last night, everything was just beautiful, and it is just, it's always a privilege and always an honor to be in God's house and to live day by day for Him. And I would appreciate your prayers regarding health. I had a very unusual episode today, and I thought I was going to see Jesus in a few minutes, so keep me in prayer. And here I am teaching. God is so good. He is just so good. He's so good. And we never know, do we? We just really never know. That's just the way it is. But today, we are continuing on the book of Luke. Our study of the book of Luke, and it's very, very exciting. And I wanted tonight to do a very good, solid review and add some new material, but do a very solid review. I study things, and then I go back. I'm just going to give you what I do. I go back and restudy them. As soon as they're done, as soon as Monday night is over, Dave will be sleeping, getting ready for work, and I will be in my office restudying. And so many times, you see things. Because God every time gives a revelation. So we're going to do a good solid review tonight. I want to begin by saying I don't know a lot about fishing, but I do live with a fisherman and know a bunch of guys who like to fish. And I know from some of the things that I even looked up on the internet that there are a lot of people who own boats who are very particular about who gets in their boat. They're very particular about who they invite on their boat and who gets, you know, hey, maybe I would be the same way. But Jesus solicited the boat of Peter, and I'm very glad that Peter allowed him to get in his boat. And the question of the hour is Jesus in my boat? Am I going to invite Jesus and welcome him in my boat and to call the shots while he's in my boat? Not just Jesus comes in my boat, but let him tell me what to do while we're in the boat and things will go better. And so we talked about last week how Jesus taught from Simon Peter's boat. And I wanted to talk about a couple things tonight. The first I didn't share last week, but I was reminded of it as I was studying that Jesus taught the people, and then it was after that that he had Simon take the boat out deeper. He said, let's go out deeper. And at that time, they caught a multitude of fish. Now, I want to tell you something. When it says he caught a multitude of fish, multitude means miracles. In this situation, when you hear me say there was a multitude, that means a multitude of miracles. Doesn't have to be fish, okay? They caught so much that they had to call James and John, their fishing buddies, and tell them about it and solicit their help. How would you like to have miracles in your life so much that you had to get other people to help you out? You know, it would be like Dave calling Gio and John and saying, come on, you know, we got too much fish here. We have too much. God is overwhelming like that because he's the God of more than enough. He's not the God of just barely enough or adequate supply. He's the God of more than enough. But the first point I want to make out tonight is first he taught, and then they caught. First, you need to know the word to understand what you can receive. First, he taught, and they got that word, and then he caught, and they caught. And Simon Peter was told by Jesus to launch out, and he obeyed. When Jesus tells you to go deeper, when Jesus tells you to do more, you need to do it. Launch out. When he says it's okay, a lot of people are afraid of going too deep. What might happen to me? You know what? You can't in the Lord. So when he obeyed, that is part of the miracle. Miracles are available to us, but it's through obedience that we have to receive the miracles. You're not going to receive a miracle if you're disobedient to God. Now, I'm going to say that. You're not going to receive a miracle unless you're deliberately disobedient to God. And so he called I like this, that Simon Peter, something interesting about Simon Peter that I appreciated about him very much is so many people, when they receive a miracle, like a multitude of fish, all of a sudden you catch a multitude. You're not just catching one or two, you're catching nets and nets. And he recognized that as a miracle, but he wasn't even as interested in the miracle. Like, we're going to make a lot of money off of all this, because they were fishermen by trade. He fell at the feet of Jesus and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He immediately fell at his feet, which is symbolic of worship, and he called him, "O Lord." Now, I want to talk to you about the term, "O Lord." "O Lord," in this context, means Adonai. And Adonai does not just mean, "O Lord." You know what it means? My Lord. If you look up the word Adonai, the correct word is "my Lord." He was saying, "You are my Lord. I am in subjection to you." It's a term of worship, Adonai, my Lord. And so Simon Peter, all of a sudden, his eyes were no longer on the miracles, but on the Lord of the miracles. May our eyes not be so focused on the goodness of God, because he has blessed us with so many things in life, hasn't he? And I could go to my closet and I go, "Well, these are great shoes. This is great stuff. This is great perfume. This is a great house." But you know what? I don't need to focus on that. What I need to say, this is a great God who gave me this stuff. This is a great God who's my provider, Jehovah Jireh. So we need to understand that it's all about him, or we would have nothing at all. Even what things we had when we were protected before we got saved and received Christ. We had blessings before, because the Bible says the goodness of God is what leads men to repent and want God in their life. I see that he is good. Nobody wants to serve a God who's not good. But here's the thing. We have to understand that it is God, it is always going to be God, and give him the honor and glory that's due him. But I want to tell you something about miracles. All of us are going to receive miracles in our life. Some of them are because God is just merciful. He's going to do things for you that you don't deserve. He's done things for me that I don't deserve. That's called mercy. He gives us grace. That's blessings that we did not earn. And he saves us from punishment that we did deserve. That's mercy. So here's the thing. When you ask God for something, say Frieda and I were praying, we're asking God for something, and God does it, I want to warn you about something. Do not ever be tempted to excuse the miracle away. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's the thing that can easily happen. Say this. We pray to catch a lot of fish. "Dear God, help us catch a lot of fish. We're not catching fish today. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us catch a lot of fish." And God does that. And later what we say is, "You know what? That was probably just the tidal wave, the tidal wave that brought the fish to us like that. That probably wasn't really God. But yet you ask God for that. You must always give him the glory." Here's another example. The test says cancer. You're going through cancer. You've got a cancer situation. And they come to you and they say, "We don't see cancer anymore." And you say, "Well, they probably had the wrong test in the first place. I probably never." Never. I'm telling you, this is a warning from God. You do not excuse away the miracle that God has done in your life. And here's another thing. We pray for God, "I need a blessing financially. God, I need help financially. I need a blessing. I need retirement. I need you to help me save money," whatever the case. And you talk to God and you pray to God, and God blesses you with finances. And then you say, "Oh, I just picked the right stocks." You know what you just said? "It was me who did that. It wasn't him. I prayed to him, but it was me who performed that miracle." We must never excuse the miracle of God in our life. And there's even something worse than that. Attributing that miracle, like I said, to either us or to happenstance or to another person. A healer is another example. When we pray to God and we have someone lay hands on us, and then we say, "It's because Alan laid hands on me." You know what? That's great that God facilitated a miracle and that Alan submitted his hands to the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. But I want to tell you something. Alan can't perform miracles. He can't. Can you perform miracles, Alan? I can't either. But I know the miracle worker, and he can work through us as the anointing flows through us. But we must never ever attribute that to something that we have done. Why? Why can't I say I did this? Because he did that. Right there, the cross. He did it. I did not do it. He bought and paid the price. I did not. But I want to tell you that we have to be warned about these things, especially when blessings start flowing, especially when our prayers start getting answered. We need to know that we're not the one answered them, and it didn't just happen accidentally. And so we're going to see in the book of Luke, as we continue studying so many miracles, and especially the overwhelming compassion of Christ we see in miracle. Now, remember, Luke was a physical, he was a physician by trade. He was a medical doctor who followed Christ, who studied with Paul and wrote the book of Luke. And I want to tell you, we were talking last week about the man with the four friends, and there was probably a lot surrounding him from this church group. And they got this man lowered from the roof that was healed of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And I was telling you that I asked myself the question about, I have a question, why they didn't come through the front door, why they didn't push through the front door with his mat, why, how did they get to the roof, did they have ladders? But I actually did some research, so I can actually tell you now how they got to the roof. Do you believe me that I can tell you how they actually got to the roof? And they didn't have to use ladders, because I studied the architecture and I studied the structures of the homes and the buildings of the day. They took the back stairs, likely, because there were stairs. So they didn't have to do that. I was just questioning how through the roof. I think I pictured doors and a house like we have. But there's likely stone stairs, because I studied a lot of the architecture of the day, of that exact time period. And that's what likely happened. But still, going upstairs with a paralyzed man that can't do anything for himself, and a couch, a mat that he laid on, is quite a feat. And I would have to give credit to these four friends and plus whoever helped them out and got them up the back stairs. But I want to tell you that they were certainly four loving friends. And as Ken said yesterday, Pastor Ken, you should have four friends like that. But I want to tell you, they were also four very desperate friends. But more than that, they were four determined friends. They were very determined. And if you need a miracle, and you know, it's one thing for me to contend for my miracle, but I have to appreciate that they cared enough about another. This took to take the effort to facilitate and help that him get to Jesus. You need people in your life that are determined that you'll see your miracle too, just like they have their miracle. And it's up to us if we're the ones who are healed. Vic and I were talking about this just yesterday, that there's so many people that need prayer right now, especially. And I said, you know what, Vic? Then it's up to us who are not in that position right now to give that prayer, to do that. It's like us taking them, being determined and desperate for someone else. And I like that thought. And Jesus said, you know, everybody gets mad about miracles in the Bible. I don't know why, but the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like that at all. They viewed it as him taking their glory, because they're supposed to be the religious leaders of the day. Interesting, the publicans were okay with miracles. I read this today, and I studied this. The publicans were equal to tax collectors. They were okay with the miracles. You know why? Because they were sinners, and they recognized that, and more humble. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're just too holy to see miracles. Never get to the place where you are so holy that you discount the miracles. And so they were mad that Jesus said, you know, your sins are forgiven, take up your couch, go to your house. In one of the miracles, he said, go to your house. I like this, that you see this man, and he is laying, and he can't move, and he has laying on a bed, a mat, a couch, whatever you want to call it. And then you see him actually carrying that article. What a testimony when you take your cane and just hold it above your head. I don't need this anymore. I don't need this couch anymore. When you take your wheelchair and you're pushing the wheelchair instead of the wheelchair, someone's pushing you and someone's carrying you. And that day will surely come. But Jesus knew that when he healed the man, that after he healed the man, they would understand that if I can heal this man, I can also forgive sins also. So I like this. And, you know, what a spirit of Antichrist that they had, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know. But I think my favorite we're still in review for a few minutes here. But I think the verse that really impacted me the most, and you'll remember it from last week, is the verse that said, I think it's 26, that said, and they were all amazed, as they should have been, and they glorified God and were filled with fear and the reverence of God, and they said, we have seen some strange things today. And I loved that. And here's the reason I do, because the word strange there means unusual, peculiar, amazing, and very different things. And you know what? I'm good. I'm good if God wants to do some strange things here, some peculiar, different, unusual, amazing things. I would like for us all to be able to say that, because the Bible does say that signs and wonders will follow those who believe, and I believe. So I believe that signs and wonders will follow us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some other things tonight. But recently, I want to tell you, I heard a psychologist, and I heard that she said something that I felt was kind of shocking. But after I heard her, I kind of got it. She said, the most common denominator of people who I see who come to me for help is that almost 80 to 90% at least or more feel that they have been missed, overlooked, and hurt, and that no one cares. That they've been overlooked, that their pain has been overlooked. And Luke makes this point in his gospel over and over again that Jesus, our Savior, will never overlook or dismiss our pain, or nor will he ignore our cries for help, because he has compassion. And one of the words for compassion is a compassio, which means to come alongside. In our pain, he comes closer, and I can prove that because the Bible says he is near the brokenhearted. That's called compassion. A lot of people, if they see somebody, say leprosy, cancer, what even today, people that are sick, I've heard people say, I really don't like to go to hospitals and things because I don't know what to do. I don't know. I heard a woman say that, said, I don't think I want to go. And I thought to myself, I find that very, but when you really think about it, it's a compassion thing. It's a you're out of your league kind of thing. Like, I don't know what to do. But when you have Jesus, you're ready. You're like, I do know what to do. My job is to give you hope. My job is to present to you the word. I don't have to, and I've heard people say, I don't want to lay hands on people because what if something happens and they don't get healed? Most people know already that you're not the healer. I would think they're not really looking to you if they're standing in a healing line. I hope they're coming for God to heal them. But we are not responsible, nor do we have to answer for God. If someone comes, we pray for them, and they don't receive their healing, we don't have to answer for that. We're still being obedient to God. I remember my brother-in-law, Ken will remember this, my brother-in-law, Bill, used to minister in the nursing homes, and he was a chaplain, chaplains and more, in the nursing homes, and he would go and pray for people. And a lot of them, 90% of them, died. And he would say, you know, I'm just kind of like the angel of death around here. You know, I go pray for them and they're dead next week. But you know what? He was doing the right thing. There were healings. I'm not saying that. But you know what? What I've always said, and what I said to him and continue to say, eternity is God's business. He has told us to lay hands on the sick. And we're to pray for the sick no matter how sick they are. Don't look at them and say, you're too sick. Go ahead and pray the prayer. Expect the miracle. If God should decide to take them home, that's something that's not your business. Eternity is God's business, not ours. No man knows the day or hour when you're going to go home or when the Lord's going to come. So we need to still do what we're called to do. And let God be God. It's okay. But we still need to lay hands on the sick and believe for miracles. But a lot of people in life, they feel like they don't matter, and they feel like they don't matter to other people. And they maybe people have expressed that to them, but a lot of times they feel like they don't matter to God. Does God really care about me? I can imagine Job, you know, after that. But Luke continues to make this point. And when it says that Jesus has compassion, when Luke says he has compassion, there's a word for it. I'll mispronounce it, but it's called spagnitzoma. And it means a deep gut feeling of compassion. Who lives in your... in your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. When you begin to speak in other tongues, you're not speaking out of your mind. You're speaking out of your spirit man that's right here, which really this is the heart. And so he has compassion for us. The Bible says he knows our sorrow. He knows pain. He's acquainted with grief. But sometimes with pain also comes stigmatization. And that's when people, what I'm trying to express to you when I say sometimes people don't want to go close to sick people or people that are handicapped, whatever the case may be. They'll overlook them. They'll pass them by. Like if they see somebody in a wheelchair or somebody retired, they won't speak to them. You know, just pass them by. Walk to the other side, whatever, because there's a stigma there. And we talked about the man with leprosy briefly last week, and so we're going to go over that just a little bit. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. Now, we're going to focus on that, full of leprosy. This was not some man who had the beginnings of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him and begged him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand, Jesus put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And the leprosy departed from him. The Bible doesn't say he was healed of leprosy, and I'm not going to go into this tonight, I could, but it says the leprosy departed from him. Now, there is a lesson there, and you can probably catch it, but we're not going to go there right now. But there are a couple things I want to go over. And the man said to Jesus, Lord. He didn't call him teacher, which a lot of people did. He didn't call him rabbi or prophet. He called him Lord. And again, the term is Adonai. It is my Lord. This man, do you see the pattern when people meet up with Jesus? And Peter said, my Lord, Adonai. This man said, my Lord. And here's the thing. Jesus was not afraid to touch him, even though he was highly contagious. He was full of leprosy. And I want to tell you something else I didn't realize about leprosy until further study this week. If you came near a leper, the smell is overwhelming. I had no clue. It makes sense, though. Their skin is rotting away. They are so diseased, they may not have fingers. And this man was not in the early stages, according to theologians. He was in the latter stages of this because the Bible makes it a point to say he was full of leprosy. So he was not just a new case on leper aisle. And so he was highly infectious. And Jesus touched him. Jesus doesn't care how smelly the situation is. He doesn't care how ugly it is. He's not going to dismiss you, ignore you, or pass you by in pain. And that's good news tonight for us, because we can have some messy situations. And Jesus walks by. He's making himself available to this man. And Jesus makes it clear his desire for all of us. In 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that you will prosper. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God doesn't want you to prosper and be blessed, okay? Right there. Stop. Stop there. Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't want to prosper you in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to be healthy and prosper in all things. Be blessed. Nowhere in God's word is there a verse that said God doesn't want you to prosper. God doesn't want you to be in health. Nowhere does it say that there are times when God wants you to be sick, get sick, or remain sick. Nowhere. You cannot give me one verse that says that. God wants you to get sick, stay sick. Absolutely not. I do read where Jesus took our sicknesses that do come to us from the pit of hell and took them upon himself, took the stripes on his back, took our sins upon himself. I was just playing a song for Dave on the way to church that I am just praying that Tony's going to get for me someday. It's by Stephen McWhorter, and I've just had it on replay all day. All debts canceled. Wow. Let me tell you over and over, all debts are canceled. If we could just get that through our head, we would live without fear. We would live in victory. We would live without compromising anything. All debts canceled. So God doesn't want us to remain sick. He did not take the stripes. The pain was for a purpose. The pain he took was for a purpose. The compassion of Christ, by the way, is unmatched. There is no one on this earth, not your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, that loves you or cares for you more than Jesus. Not one person. No one cares enough to suffer and die for you. None of the above. Say what you want. Oh, I would die. I'd be hung on a cross for somebody. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Only Jesus. He did what no one else would do. He did what no one else could do because they were not sinless either. He had a depth of compassion for this man with leprosy. And I want to say something to you that I had never thought of until I was studying today through the Holy Spirit. I realize, because we see, and we're going to study, we're going to backtrack next week and study about the centurion who said, I'm a man under authority. And the guy said, you just speak the word. And that's how it happened. Do you know with this man with leprosy that Jesus could have healed this man, spoke the word? He never had to touch him. Wow. Do you know why he touched him? When you had leprosy, you were outcast. We've shared this before. You were outcast to the leper colony. You were not allowed to be with your family. When's the last time you had a hug, a touch? Jesus touched him because he needed to be touched. He was ready to be hugged. He needed to, the touch of the master. He could have avoided touching him. Jesus was proving a point. I will come and hold you and touch you and be near you. We all need human touch. It doesn't matter how awful your situation it is. Doesn't matter if you're that homeless person on the street. You need the hug. You need somebody. You need somebody that's willing to reach out. And I can't tell you how much I loved this, that Jesus connected, chose to connect with him physically. Now, in the case of the centurion, that wasn't necessary. But in this case, Jesus does what? Do you remember during COVID the times when we could not meet together, when we had to wear masks, when we had to stay away 6 feet from each other, even for a short time, for months and a few months, and it drug on? And you know what? Since we all need human touch, there's actually been studies done since then that are not even concluded yet or conclusive, but it says that there are people who will remain affected for a long time because of the lack of human contact and touch during that time. Let me tell you something. But as much as we need human touch, we need a touch from the nail-scarred hands 100 million times more. And, you know, it does something to you emotionally, because without human touch, you feel rejected. You feel overlooked. You feel not cared for. Babies don't thrive. You know that from studies. If they're not touched when they're born, they need touch. They need held. How do you comfort somebody when they're crying? How do you comfort a baby? You pick it up. The first thing you do is pick it up. You start petting it. You start whispering to it. You get close to it. And that's what we need from Jesus. And that's what he does for us. It doesn't matter if you're in the ICU or where you are. Jesus will come and touch you. We're going to do one more story tonight, if that's okay. And here's another story. It's found in Luke 7, 11 to 15. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. Actually, it was a young man, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. She had people with her, a bunch of people. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, do not weep. If my kid dies, I'm going to weep, okay? My child dies. I'll be weeping. Then he came up and he touched the bear. It's called B-I-E-R, the bear. And that was a thing that they had the body on. It was a thing that they carried the body on. But here's the deal. You were not allowed. It was considered to touch even the thing that held the dead person. You had to be a certain cleansing and do stuff. And Jesus went up and touched the bear, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Now, Think about this woman. I want you to think about this for a minute. This is her only son. The Bible says so. This is her only son. And they were now carrying her son out of the city. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Because let me tell you what, she's a widow. She's already lost her husband. This was her entire family. This is the husband, and this is the only son I have. It's just her. So of course she's going to weep. Of course she's there. And they were carrying her son outside the city because the dead were considered unclean. And the similarity with the lepers is noted that they were also considered unclean. There's a similarity there. The mother in this story is not like the leper in this respect. She never asks for any kind of help whatsoever. She doesn't call out to Jesus. She doesn't call him Lord. She doesn't worship Jesus. She's probably very hopeless. I don't have any hope. What am I going to ask for help for? It's too late for help. But Jesus had compassion on her, and he saw her tears. Here's my point. In the story of the leper, you could make a case and say, he asked for help. And yes, we should go to Jesus and ask for help. Jesus felt sorry because he asked. And you could say, well, maybe Jesus was impressed because he worshiped at his feet. But think about this. This was a woman. She wasn't worshiping at his feet. She wasn't asking for a miracle. She did nothing except cry. That's all she did. She cried because her son died. She was in the middle of her son's funeral, she was crying, which is what any one of us would have done. So what does it say to you and I? It says this. Our miracle, your miracle, my miracle, is not dependent upon what we do or don't do. It's Jesus. And just like the man at the pool who could not get to Jesus, I have always said this and I will forever stand by this, the Pastor Pam Theology 101. If you can't get to Jesus, he can get to you. If you don't even know Jesus, it's okay. He knows you. If you feel your situation is hopeless, just like Pastor Ken and I said yesterday, he is still hope because hope has a name, Jesus. And he cares so much for us that he stops everything for us. He cares. He could have walked, but he didn't. I heard a story of a Max Lucado story that another minister told. He was actually a friend who was invited to a party, and Max Lucado was surrounded by just such important people, authors and publishers and lawyers and doctors and ministers. It was a really high party, but it was at his house, and it was huge, and it was beautiful. And he was surrounded by all of these. And all of a sudden, Max heard music in the other room. And he told all these people, he said, could you excuse me for just a moment? He said, I have business to attend to. And he walked into the other room. Some people followed him. And it was Max's little 7-year-old daughter, Jenna, was just playing on the piano, just a little song. And they said Max was just standing against the wall, just looking at her. And he said, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. This is my daughter. And he turned and he said, that's how God looks at you when he hears you. He is enthralled with you. He will leave for you because he cares that much. And God is not mad at you. His love is not ever based on performance. You don't have to say when you need a miracle, well, I haven't done this, or I should have done that, or coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's not that. It's that he does it because he loves. He doesn't even do it because you need it. He does it because he loves you. Yes, he realizes you need it. And something else I liked, and this was just something I threw in that I really loved, this was written by a man named Henry Nouwen. He said, everyone who returns from a long and a difficult trip is looking for someone. They're waiting for someone at the station or the airport. Everyone wants to tell his story. They want to share their life, the moments of pain and sorrow, with someone who stayed home and the moments of joy with someone who cares and who loves them. And that is so true about all of us. We need someone we can share with, and that someone is Jesus as our worship team comes. God is so good. So he and something about Jesus as they come, I want to share with you and continue on this. He did not use a formula to perform miracles. Sometimes he would speak. Sometimes he would touch people. Sometimes they would have people, the prophets would have people, you go dip in, remember Naaman. But it was never the same way. God's not a cookie cutter God. He's outside the box, just unexpected. And he has such unexpected blessings for us. But I want to say this because you're going to come in contact with a lot of hurting people in your life. We all need love. We all need touch. We all need someone to care for us. We all need someone who will listen to us, not talk down to us, but listen to us, speak kind words to us, show us the unconditional love of Christ. Someone should be able to come to you, like someone came to me the other day and said, I don't think I deserve this miracle. I said, you probably don't. I know I don't deserve, you know, if you're talking about a big miracle, who deserves it? God's a miracle-working God. That's his gift to you, his love, his unconditional love. And I just want to tell you that there is nothing like the love of God. The love of God is greater than the miracles of God. And we should be seeking, as the song says, the healer, not the healing. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.